Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our hope and redeemer. When I was in placement at another congregation, that congregation every Monday morning hosted a Music Together program, as I believe indeed this congregation hosted also for many years. Those of you who have been involved with or who know about Music Together will know that it's a program for parents and infants and toddlers, and it involves a process of socializing through singing and music, and helps to introduce very young children to a process of socializing with their peers as well as older people, but also does things like assist with introducing very young children to music, to language, to fine motor skills, and indeed gross motor skills as well. It's an excellent program, and for many of the parents involved, particularly those parents who had more than one very young child, it often represented the only opportunity during the week in which they could have adult level interaction with other adults. And I remember in particular there was one young woman there who was from a very troubled background. She was a single parent, and her child had certain learning and behavioral deficits. And for this young woman, the couple of hours she was able to spend at the program was the only time she got to interact with other adults. And as a consequence, I got to know her a little bit and had quite a few conversations with her. And one day she asked if she could go into the worship space. And I said, of course. And took her across the foyer, opened the door to the worship space. And as she stepped over the threshold, she burst into tears. And when I asked her why, she said to me, no one has ever invited me or let me into their church. No one has said I can come into this place. And because of that, she had developed the idea that churches, that worship spaces, were just for good and proper people, for people who deserved to be allowed inside. It's a pretty awful story that frankly doesn't reflect well on the church. But it also tells us something about worship spaces themselves, that they can be intimidating places, that they can be places people feel that they are not allowed to go into. They can be spaces that project an idea about what it means to be church and congregation that for many people is a barrier. The big church, the big building, the rows of pews, the accompanying symbols and decorations on the walls, the height of the ceiling, the crosses on the roof, all these things can be symbols to people of what they're not allowed to do or be or go into. The reason why I mention all of this is because we have a reading today from a somewhat obscure corner of scripture that addresses the reality that that young woman experienced. The letters of Peter are not often texts that get mentioned in either the lectionary or as a source of preaching. And that's in large part because there are only a couple of them, unlike the letters of Paul, for example. And they're much shorter than Paul's letters. And there also happens to be a certain amount of disagreement among scholars as to whether these letters were actually written by Peter or perhaps by one of his followers under his name and authority and on the basis of his teachings. So they tend to get overlooked for a whole range of reasons, which is a pity because, like other overlooked texts in Scripture, they can in fact speak profound and powerful words to us. And in today's reading, Peter enjoins his audience to become a church of living stones. Now, these words are quite deliberately chosen by Peter because he's not just referencing scriptural texts that describe Jesus or the Messiah as a stone, as the cornerstone that gets rejected or which is a stumbling block to those who want to persecute the followers of Jesus. Rather, Peter was addressing in his choice of words a very real anxiety which existed within the early Christian community. And that was about places of worship and how their identity was constructed through places of worship. Because Peter's letters were written at a time of disruption and disturbance within the early church. The Christian community was pulling apart from the Jewish community from which it had emerged. And as a consequence, Christians were no longer allowed to worship in synagogues, were no longer allowed to worship with the rest of the community. And there was often violence on both sides as part of this process of separation. So for many early Christians, the fact that they didn't have a designated place of worship was a cause of great anxiety to them. Because for them, it not only impacted on their identity, it also impacted on their sense of legitimacy. I mean, how, after all, can you call yourself a faith community if you don't have a place of worship to go to? And likewise, the early Christians would have looked at the Romans with their temples and their vast places of worship, which in reality were projections of the power of the Roman state, and would have said, see, the pagans have got these huge places. They're powerful. They're in charge. Those temples tell us that they're in touch and relevant to the present, and people go there and that reflects well on them. But Peter's response to these anxieties is not to say, sure, okay, let's start building churches. Peter's response to these anxieties is to remind his audience of first principles. And that first principle is that they are to be a church of living stones. It is to remind them that the church and a congregation is not a building, it's not a place, it's not a location, it's not how many people turn up or walk through the doors. It's the community itself, the people themselves. They are the church. They are the congregation. They are the living stones. That is the body of Christ on earth. But they're not just any kind of living stones. They're not just any random group of people. And it's not just about doing good works. It's about a community of people who embody the ministry of Jesus in the world. The ministry of God's love. The ministry of God's compassion. Or as Peter puts it in today's passage, the ministry of God's mercy. Because they are the people who are set aside not because they're special or elite or raised above anyone else, but because they are the people who have witnessed to and received the mercy of God. And therefore, they are the people who are to give witness to and embody that mercy in the world. Because it's not about buildings, it's not about properties, it's not about locations, it's not about the symbols or the images of power and privilege and wealth that we can project to the world. It's about the mercy of God. And about being and embodying and living out the mercy of God in the world. And I think that that speaks directly to our reality as a church today. That when we look around and we see the empty pews and the falling numbers in our congregations, or in the alternate, when we look up the road and see the mega church with its lights and music and thousands of people turning up every Sunday, and its huge bank accounts and its capacity to project itself into society, we feel and experience those anxieties. We want to be big again. We want to be powerful again. We want to be impressive again. But Peter reminds us today that that is not what it's about. And he's writing to a church and to a community who don't have a place to worship, who aren't allowed into the synagogues, and who have to meet in their homes or in some other ad hoc space in order to be a worshiping community. And Peter says, that's fine. That's perfectly okay. So long as what you are the living stones of God's mercy and compassion and grace in the world. So as we contemplate this reading in our own context today, as we think about our own anxieties and perhaps envies, let us return not to the consolation, but to the reassurance, to the truth, that what it's really about is not what we project to the world, but it's whether or not we allow the world to us, because we are a place of welcome. We are a place that says to others, you are good enough. You are allowed. And we are a community that doesn't cling to bricks and mortar and land, but instead is a community of the living stones of God's love for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.